Hey, so I'm here to tell you possibly the dumbest story you've ever heard. It's so embarrassing, I don't even know why I'm telling people about it, but here goes. So I got stuck in an escape room. And yeah, I know that sometimes you might not get all the clues, but we solved all the clues and we still couldn't get out. How did it happen? How did we get out? Let me tell you. And I bet some of you watching also love escape rooms, so see if you can solve the same puzzles we did. And let me know if you got it right in the comments. I'm Jemima, I'm 16. This is Bobby, a whiz with words. And this is JJ, a whiz with numbers. We absolutely love doing escape rooms. For JJ's 16th birthday, we clubbed our allowance together and bought tickets to Primed Heist. And even better, we found out that JJ's mom was away that weekend, so we could have an epic sleepover. But it didn't turn out like that, as we couldn't escape the escape room. When we arrived, we had to put our phones in the lockers so no one could cheat. We were so excited. But it started to go downhill once we met our guide, Jamie. He wasn't my type, but Bobby was especially impressed by him. And Jamie seemed impressed with Bobby. I was like, hello, can we do the escape room, please, rather than your weird mating ritual? The story of the escape room was that we were a team of high-class bank robbers. First, we had to break into the bank. Jamie told us we were crawling through air vents, but we knew it was made up. The vents twisted and turned. It felt like we crawled a really long way. Finally, we came out at the vault. Jamie handed us our first clue to open the vault door. Are you ready? Let's see if you can get it. Welcome, players, to the world's greatest vault. But take these words with a dose of salt. The puzzles are tough, and you may not be enough. But if you get caught, it's your fault. We had to find the sequence of four numbers to open the door. At first, I was like, what? Then, I thought that the clue was a limerick, which has five lines. So maybe the sequence was 6, 7, 8, 9? But it didn't work. We thought of even numbers, odd numbers. Was it connected to the poem? And Bobby was no help. Finally, JJ said, that's it. Our primed heist. It's prime numbers. So we tried 7, 11, 13, 17, and it worked. Did you get it? Come on, be honest. It went over my head, so... JJ was starting to get annoyed, as this was supposed to be a fun thing we all did together. Inside the vault was amazing. There were stacks of super realistic cash and gold statues and trinkets and jewels. To get to the good stuff, we had to cross a huge foam pit. Sorry, I mean river, as Jamie kept saying. Then Jamie suddenly shut the door and said, quick, you only have 3 minutes to solve the next puzzle or the vault alarm will go off. Ready? Let me know how you would have solved it in the comments. Jamie told us the scales had to be even at all times. There were 7 jugs of water, and to win, we had to empty them all. We knew that getting exactly half a jug of water on the scales would be pretty much impossible. So how could we get rid of some of the water? We thought about it for what seemed like a really long time. Then JJ came up with the answer. She drank one of the jugs. Jamie laughed at us and said no one had done it quite like that before. We carefully tipped the rest of the water into the scales. They matched the whole way. Now, all we had to do was take the gold through the foam, I mean river, to get to the bank exit. And don't ask what a river's doing in a bank. It's not real. The foam river was so much fun. Even Bobby joined in and forgot about Jamie for a moment, but not for too long. We did it, and Jamie gave us our final clue to get out of the bank. Ready? Let's see if you get it. You played the game, now it's time to be gone. You may have it all, or you may have none. The true prize is escape, so don't delay. All or nothing you have. We had to guess a number from the clue. We read the clue over and over, but we couldn't work it out. JJ thought maybe all or nothing meant we had to count our money, and that would be the number that would let us escape, but we had a lot of money. It would take ages. We looked at Jamie to see if we were on the right track. He was busy telling Bobby all about his dreams of studying, acting, etc., etc. Then I realized this is so easy. The true prize. How do you get a prize? You win a prize. That last line is all or nothing you have. One. The answer is number one. But I wouldn't want to be on That's My Story if my story didn't take a turn. And yes, you guessed it. Things got worse. We turned the bar to unlock the door. We heard a funny kind of clicking noise, and then nothing happened. The door wouldn't budge. We looked at Jamie to see if he could help, but there were no prizes for guessing what he was doing. Finally, JJ snapped. Jamie, we really need your help. Come on. Let's get out of here. I need to pee after drinking some of that Clue. I said, did we get it wrong? Jamie looked just as puzzled as we were. He tried the handle again and again. He said, no, you got the answer right. Then he was like, oh, wait, was I supposed to... Oh, no, I forgot to do something important earlier. I think I got distracted. JJ was furious. She told Bobby it was all her fault and we were supposed to be a team, but she didn't help at all. Bobby disagreed, saying she was just jealous because Jamie liked her and not JJ. I reminded them all the arguing wasn't helping, that everything would be okay. We could just call for help. But he reminded me that we didn't have our phones. And then he said that even if we have our phones, there would be no service. JJ was sure that someone would come down and lock up and check on us, but Jamie broke the bad news that we were the last team of the day. His colleague had snuck out early to go on a date, so no one was coming to check on us. Jamie was like, your moms and dads will miss you, right? And they know where you are? But we told him no. We yelled and yelled for help, but of course no one could hear us. The thought of being stuck in there all night was awful, but even worse was that we would have to share it with Love's Young Dream. And worse for JJ, she said, I really need to pee. First we got hungry, then we got cold, then all the lights went out. We thought we were doomed, but luckily Jamie had a torch. We soon realized no one was coming to rescue us. We'd have to sleep there. Jamie was really sorry. He said that if we complain, he might lose his job. Bobby said we'd never complain, that this was her fault and not his, and she was the one who was sorry. It wasn't her fault she was so irresistible. I was like, what? And JJ was like, please. JJ said the first thing she was going to do when she got out was complain. I suggested we put our heads together and figure out a way to get out. But how would you have gotten out? Door locked, no phones, no one to check on you. Comment and let me know. Then Jamie suddenly said, what about the real air vents? We had crawled into the escape room using fake air vents, but the vault did have real air vents we could use to get out. Yeah, it would be just like in the movies. Except the grate was screwed to the wall. She made a screwdriver out of a mermaid's tail. And we crawled through the air vents for real this time. Just like in the movies. It was such a relief to get out, especially for JJ. So how did you like my crazy escape experience? Do let me know in the comments if you want to know what happened to Bobby and Jamie or whether their love lasted.
Hi, everyone. I'm Fiona. My parents disowned me because of my YouTube channel. They said, you're no longer our daughter, so you can't live in our house. They basically kind of kicked me out. How did it come to this? What did I do to make them so upset? I'll tell you the whole story. First of all, I have to say that my parents are super weird. I'm not exaggerating. Here are some examples of what they used to do. Our kitchen would close at 8 p.m. Literally closed, as if it were a store. At 8 o'clock, my dad would lock the door and take away the key. My mom would announce, if anyone needs water, you have 5 minutes to get it, before he'd lock it. That happened every day, so I thought it was normal. One day, I was at a friend's house for a pajama party. Just before we went to bed, my friend said, my mom left us milk and cookies. Let's go to the kitchen. I was so surprised and I naively asked, is your kitchen open so late? I'm not into video games, so this other rule in our house was mainly for my brother, Craig. He wasn't allowed to play Pokemon games. You know why? Both of my parents are very religious. My dad read somewhere that Pokemon can evolve. As a religious man, he didn't believe in evolution. He thought that the evolution of Pokemon supported the theory of evolution, so my brother wasn't allowed to play Pokemon. And because of my mom's beliefs, we weren't allowed to watch Harry Potter films or read its books. Because according to her, the series promoted sorcery. Since sorcery is considered a sin, we had to stay away from Harry Potter films and books. Those are just two of the things we weren't allowed to do. Let me tell you about their ridiculous punishments, which really put their weirdness on display. One time, my brother forgot to flush the toilet after pooping. When my mom saw it, she called him over. "You are going to stand here and look at your poop," she said. She kept coming to check that he was really looking. My brother had to stare at his poop for 40 minutes. Finally, my mom yelled from the kitchen, "Flush it!" And he did. Later that day, poor Craig told me, "No matter where I look, I still see my poop." I laughed at the time, but looking back on it, I think it was pretty sad. Now here's one of my dad's weird punishments. Whenever I got a bad grade at school, he would make me call all our relatives and tell them what I got. He'd stand next to me the whole time. For example, he'd call my grandma and hand me the phone. First, I'd say which class it was and then the grade I got. He'd say, "Apologize to your grandmother for being a disgrace to the family." So I would apologize. This was more upsetting for my grandmother than for me. In addition to the weird ones, he also had some harsh punishments. Normal parents usually tell their kids, "You can't leave your room today." With us, it was, "You can't come down from the apple tree today." You heard it right. We had to climb a tree and stay there for hours as punishment. We had an apple tree in our backyard. That's the one we had to climb. For example, cursing would be punished with the tree. The amount of time we spent in the tree depended on the curse word. You know what the saddest part is? When you grow up in a home like this, you think this is normal. You think this kind of stuff happens in every home. When I was 13 or 14, I started learning more about my friends' families' lives, and I realized that ours was not normal at all. This awareness made things difficult for both me and my parents. I no longer accepted everything they said. So we'd fight all the time. They thought I was just acting out because I was now a teenager, but I kept telling them that they weren't normal, and they needed therapy every chance I got. I felt like a volcano that was ready to erupt. There was no avoiding it. I had to get rid of the lava building up inside me, otherwise it was going to harm me. During that period, I realized that sharing was a sort of therapy for me. I felt better when I talked to my friends, but there were some things I couldn't tell them. I'd gone through such terrible things that I was worried they would judge me, even though none of it was my fault. The solution was right in front of me. I decided to create a YouTube channel. I wasn't going to show my face or tell anyone about it, including my brother. That way, I would be able to share everything anonymously. Where do you think I shot my first video? Sitting in the apple tree. I set up the phone's camera so it would only show the apples. I pressed record and started talking about this apple tree's role in my life. I let it all come out. It's weird, but I didn't cry at all. I just talked. Then I uploaded the 1.5 hour video to my YouTube channel, which I called The Girl in the Tree. That night, I felt completely relaxed and slept like a baby. The volcano inside me now had an outlet. After the first 10 days, the amount of views on my video started to go up. I remember the first comment very clearly. "Did you really experience this, or are you just making things up?" A few hours later, I got a second comment, which said, "Please show us your face." I continued uploading 2 videos per week. I got over 1,000 subscribers. The 7 videos I uploaded had a total of 9,000 views. As my emotional scars were being healed, something really unexpected happened. My brother accidentally came across my channel. He texted me right away, but I was on my way to a friend's house to work on a school project. So I didn't see my messages. Craig's dream was to be a YouTuber, and he thought that I made this channel to become one as well. He was so happy when he saw the number of views and subscribers. He was proud of me and immediately went to show our mom. When I came home, my parents were livid. Craig realized what he had done, but it was too late. My mom kept saying, "How dare you talk about our private lives online?" My dad said, "I didn't expect this from you. We've given you everything, and you stab us in the back." But the thing is, I hadn't exposed anyone. I had only told things from my perspective without saying anything bad about my mom or dad. I just described what happened, and since it was my experience, I had the right to talk about it. They sent me to my room. I heard them have a heated discussion. But I didn't want to know what they were saying, so I didn't listen. 3 hours went by. I was getting ready for bed when my mom called me. My dad said, "There is no way we can forgive you. We worked so hard to raise you, and this is what we get in return. No punishment would be enough for what you've done. So your mom and I have made a really tough decision. We are disowning you. We can't possibly call you our daughter after this." Disowning? I was completely shocked. I kept listening, but it was like I was living in a dream. I looked at my mom, who was in tears, looking down. I wanted her to say something, so I said, "Mom?" But she didn't look at me. She just shook her head. I knew how stubborn they are, and that arguing with them would be pointless. I've never seen my dad change his mind about anything. I didn't deserve this, but there was nothing I could do. I wanted to cry, but I stopped myself. I didn't want them to see me as weak. "So what happens now?" I asked. "Since you're disowning me, I guess you don't want me staying in this house anymore." Mm-hmm. My dad nodded. "We're giving you a week to find yourself a place to stay." I could understand their disappointment, but wasn't this reaction a bit over the top? Disowning and even throwing me out of the house? They had 2 children, but it looks like they were okay with losing one. Why was I surprised anyway? My parents' main issue was their inability to be compassionate towards us. I've already told you how they punished us for small stuff. I guess it was normal for them to overreact like this under the circumstances. Now that I was kicked out of the house, I had to find a place to stay. Being a high school student, I didn't have many options. Of course, I went to my grandmother. My parents probably knew that's what I would end up doing. Even though my dad is my grandmother's favorite son, she criticizes him all the time. When she found out what happened, she called him over. "Fiona is just a kid. How can you throw her out of the house? She will live with me from now on. And I am disowning you, too. Throw Craig out as well. I'll take care of both of them." My dad listened without saying anything. Then he just left. I've been living with my grandmother for 5 months now. I wish they had kicked me out earlier because I feel so good here. Craig stays over a lot. He says that my mom cries all the time because she misses me. I'm not unforgiving like her. I'd go see her right away if she called, but I don't think I'll ever live in that house again. I was really sad about having to delete my channel, but then I stopped caring because it had served its purpose. It helped me share all that was building up inside of me, right? Thanks for listening to me. If you like stories based on real events, subscribe to this channel. Bye.
Hello, guys. I'm Irene. I'm going to tell you a story about my sister Bethany and our dad. I watched it all happen from the beginning. I tried to intervene, but it didn't help because my dad wouldn't listen. Like every good father, our dad does everything he can to provide us with the best of everything. Unfortunately, he's very unlucky when it comes to business. He's a waiter, and I know that he is really good at his job. But for some reason, he can never stay in the same restaurant for more than 1 year. Recently, he was working at an Italian restaurant, and he was on good terms with his boss. But when he saw that another waiter was being treated unfairly, he quit his job. On such days, he comes home with flowers. When my mom saw the flowers, she knew right away that he had quit. Next morning, as we were going off to school, Dad was looking for an online job. We all knew that he'd find a new job pretty quickly, because he always did. Sometimes we'd get back from school and he would already be working at another restaurant. This time, we were faced with an unexpected offer. Dad was super excited when we got back from school. He sat us down. Girls, it's time for us to work for ourselves. We're going to start a family business. I don't have to work for other people anymore. I have a great idea. But I'll need you to help me with it, he said. Then he looked at my sister. Especially you, Bethany, he said, smiling. Dad's great idea was starting a YouTube channel for my sister. Apparently, he came across some news online. It was about child YouTubers who made the most money this year. He was shocked when he saw that they made millions of dollars. He was on YouTube all day, going through child YouTubers' channels and watching their videos. He got really excited when he saw that they were pretty simple videos, mostly of kids playing games. After telling us all this, he said, "My daughter is so much prettier than all the other kids I saw. We could be one of the channels on that list next year," he said. Apparently, he told it all to our mom during the day. She got into it too when she heard how much money they were making. Bethany can do it as long as it doesn't disrupt her schoolwork. Some videos feature moms as well. "I can help out if you want," she said to him. It looked like they had already made up their minds. Bethany couldn't really say anything. "Would I be able to do it, though?" she asked. But I knew she liked the idea. The mood at home was really good. Videos with pools are very popular. "We'll move to a new house with a large pool next year," he said and started dreaming. The next day was Saturday. Dad took us to the aquarium. Bethany knew the place well because we had been there before with our parents and also once on a school trip. Dad was shooting a video, so she pretended like it was her first time. She was running around, looking at all the fish and acting really excited. Dad was in such a good mood. He recorded everything Bethany did in the aquarium. When we got home, Dad wanted to edit the videos right away. But he had no idea how to do it. He borrowed my laptop. He spent the whole evening trying to figure out a video editing program. He was asking me questions, but I couldn't help him, since I also didn't know anything about it. The funniest part was seeing my dad still working on it the next morning when we woke up. When he finally finished it, he proudly showed it to us. Honestly, it was a regular family video. At the same time, it was just like the other kids' videos on YouTube, which had millions of views. Dad's video was as ordinary as those videos. He made a YouTube channel under my sister's name and uploaded the video. He was so excited, as if the whole country had been waiting to see it. He bet my mom on the number of views it would get. Dad said it would get 5,000 or 6,000, but mom thought it wouldn't get more than 1,000. The whole day he couldn't sit still and was pacing around. I checked the video in the evening. It only had 14 views. Yes, 14. I'm pretty sure it was just my dad watching it over and over. And maybe Bethany watched it 3 or 4 times. Next week, they made a new video every day. Dad was adding more videos to the thousands that were already on YouTube. One day, my sister and mom played a game together. Then they did a colors video using fruits and vegetables. In another video, Bethany unpacked new toys and introduced them. Dad got over the disappointment of the first video. He would shoot a new video, edit it in the evening, and upload it the next morning. But despite his efforts, the results were the same. Nobody was watching the videos. One day, Dad came home with a bunch of boxes. He had bought professional video equipment. My parents didn't have any money saved, so he had to sell his car to buy them. Mom wasn't happy about this at all. Our family had no money coming in now that Dad was out of work. Spending all this extra money wasn't right. For the next month, he used the new camera and lights for the videos. Even though the visual quality was better, the content was the same. The most watched video in the channel didn't even have 100 views. The worst part was that Bethany was bored now. When Dad called her over to shoot, she'd make up excuses. She didn't look happy in the videos. Dad was in much worse shape than her. He felt responsible for the failure. He didn't have a job, but had expenses to pay. When Bethany didn't really feel like performing, he'd lose his patience with her. We no longer recognized him. He would scream at Bethany, forcing her to act for the camera. There was no peace at home. My parents started fighting a lot. Bethany got too scared to complain, but she looked like a robot in front of the camera. When I watched the videos, I felt really bad for her. It was weird that my dad actually liked the videos. According to him, the problem was the lack of promotion. So he invested the rest of his money on promoting the channel. Views increased a little, but when the ads stopped, they went back down to what they used to be. His final move was to put himself in front of the camera. He thought he had come up with an amazing idea. He put on a caveman costume. Bethany chased after him with a bunch of toy dinosaurs. Since my dad was a caveman, he was running scared from the dinosaurs. He waited a while after uploading this ridiculous video to the channel. The views weren't going up, so he borrowed money from a friend to promote the channel again. I couldn't watch that dinosaur video for more than a few minutes. It hurt to see my dad like that. He looked so desperate. The next day, Bethany came up to me at school crying. One of her classmates had seen the dinosaur video, thanks to the promotion, and showed it to everyone. They started mocking Dad and making fun of Bethany. She got angry and pushed a girl so hard that she fell. The teacher got really angry with her. "If you do that again, I'll send you to the principal," she said. When she told my mom about it, she got angry too. She and Dad had one of the worst fights I'd seen. Mom was screaming, "This YouTube thing is over. There will be no more video shoots in this house," she kept saying. "I need to get a return on my investment. Will all this money and effort go to waste?" he kept asking. Once he realized that Mom wasn't backing down, and she was right, he stopped yelling. After a while, he started apologizing. Dad wasn't a bad person. He had done the best he could, but things just didn't work out. He lost control when he couldn't find a way out. He came and talked to us once more. "Girls, I'm so ashamed of myself. I couldn't see what I had been doing. Bethany, I'm especially sorry for how I treated you. I understand if you can't forgive me," he said. He was about to cry. He left the house before we could say anything and didn't come back that night. He messaged Mom in the morning. She was really sad when she showed us the message. "Sweetie, I'm okay. I decided I'm not coming home until I find a good job. Don't worry about me. I love you all very much. I'm sorry for everything," said the message. Dad wasn't around the next day or the day after that. He was texting, though. "Honey, I'm still looking for a job. I can't come home without a good job after all this. Kiss the girls and tell them I love them." The doorbell rang early the next morning. It was Dad. We were so happy. He turned to my sister. "Thank you for the video. None of this is your fault. I was the one forcing you. If anyone's guilty, it's me," he said, hugging her. He added, "I wish you turned the lights on, though. Your pretty face would have looked better." Mom and I were confused. Turns out, Bethany shot a video when we were sleeping. In it, she said that she loved Dad a lot, and all of this was her fault, asking him to come back home. Then she uploaded it to the channel. Dad's phone got a notification that said, "A new video has been uploaded to Bethany's channel." Surprised, he clicked on it right away. He got really emotional, but had to wait until the morning since it was already late. Dad found a new job a few weeks later. He says that his experience with YouTube and his video skills helped him land the job. The employer asked him why Dad stopped working. That's when he told him about the YouTube adventure. The employer had been wanting to make a YouTube channel featuring him cooking his mom's recipes. They decided to work on the shoots together. He's going to pay Dad extra for them. Dad wasn't looking forward to it since he was going to be reminded of our miserable days, but he was happy that he was going to make back his money. That's it from me. What do you think about child YouTubers? Tell me in the comments. If you want to keep up with stories like mine, subscribe to the channel. Bye!
Hi, guys. Unfortunately, I can't tell you my name because some people might recognize me. I'm not ashamed of what I went through. In fact, I'm pretty proud of myself. But my parents might be uncomfortable with what I'll be sharing. That's why I decided to keep my identity a secret. I hope you understand. 3 years ago, when I was 14, my dad owned a car wash that he had opened with a partner. Everything was great. We were doing very well financially. My brother and I started going to private school. We moved to a fancy area. It's so easy to get used to good things. We'd adapted to our new lifestyle so well, we soon felt as if we'd be living like that for years. And then one day, it all came crashing down. The police raided my dad's work. It turned out that his partner was using the car wash to launder money. We found out that he'd been dealing drugs for years. The police arrested my dad too, but they let him go when they realized that he didn't know anything about the illegal business. However, the car wash was confiscated because of his partner. Naturally, my dad was really traumatized by what happened. He couldn't accept that he'd been duped and that he had been part of something illegal. All of a sudden, our lives turned upside down. He pulled himself together a few months later and opened a new car wash in another part of town. Unfortunately, things didn't go as expected. He had to close down after a while. He had taken out a bank loan for the new business. When he couldn't pay it back, we went bankrupt. We lost everything we had. It was a very difficult period for our family. I wanted to help out, so I got a job at a restaurant run by my friend's father. I was working there after school, washing dishes for the first time in my life. It was not the best job, but I was happy to be making money. I would work until the restaurant closed at night and wake up early to go to school the next day, no matter how tired I was. I was working 6 days a week with only one day off. I used to spend all my free time playing games on my computer, but now I only used it for schoolwork. One day, a friend told me that a new map had been added to a game that I really loved. I wanted to take a quick look. When my dad came into my room, he saw me playing the game. He got really angry. "Your mom and I stay up all night trying to figure out what to do. We can barely sleep. But you're just playing your games as if nothing happened," he said. He accused me of being selfish. He kept getting angrier. Finally, he said, "When you buy your own computer, you can play as much as you want," and took away my laptop. That was probably the worst day of my life. I cried for hours under the covers because I felt it was so unfair. Then, all of a sudden, I stopped. I started telling myself, "Don't pity yourself. Don't pity yourself." It was almost dawn. I promised myself I'd never wallow in self-pity again. I was going to do everything I could to keep this promise. I went to school without getting any sleep. When my girlfriend saw me, she could tell that something was up. I told her what had happened with my dad. At first, she was really upset, but when I told her about my decision, she said she was proud of me. She looked at me and said, "You're one of the funniest people I know, and I think you can make money from it. I have an idea. I can help you if you want to try it." I didn't go to work after school. We went to my girlfriend's house. A couple of hours later, I was sitting in front of her computer wearing a chicken mask. I made an account on Twitch and started live streaming. I was playing just like everyone else, but there was something different about me. I was clucking with a mask on. It was my girlfriend's idea to create a half-human, half-chicken character. The mask was her brother's. I was clucking and making jokes like I was a chicken. My girlfriend was cracking up. Her laughter was very encouraging, so I performed much better than I thought I would. It was like I was on a show. 2 hours in, I had reached 500 viewers. You wouldn't believe the sounds I made when I got my first donation. It was a perfect night. I was filled with hope. I could quit my job at the restaurant thanks to my girlfriend. I don't want to belittle that job, but I was sure that I could make so much more money on Twitch and much more quickly. Things went even better than I expected in the next few days. My audience grew a lot, but nobody knew who I was because I was using the nickname Big Bird and wearing a mask all the time. To them, I was a large, funny bird. But there was also the beautiful girl whom the camera never showed, but whose laughter they could hear. I didn't tell my family that I was on Twitch. I wanted to tell my mom and my brother, but I was too scared of my dad finding out, so I didn't say anything. They all thought that I was still working at the restaurant. I wondered if I had told my dad that it was possible to make money by playing games, would he have lightened up a little bit? I didn't think so. Parents don't really like children playing video games. Whenever they can, they try to stop them. I'm sure of it, and I can understand why. But I think my dad was obsessed with the whole idea of games. I think he unleashed his hatred of games that day by using our family problems as an excuse. One night, something really interesting happened. I was live streaming as usual with my mask on. At one point, I looked at the chat window on the screen. "Big Bird, do you want to get the biggest donation of your life in exchange for removing your mask?" The message was from one of my most loyal fans, Ringo Starr. He made a donation every day. I clucked. "Biggest donation of my life? I just hatched from an egg not that long ago. The only thing you can do is give me the biggest donation of my life so far, I said. You're right. Okay, let's do this. I'm sure it's not just me, but everyone who's watching you now that wants to see your face. Will you take off your mask if everyone makes the biggest donation they can? He replied. I stopped for a second. I looked at my girlfriend. She shook her head, telling me not to do it. I knew that there would be no turning back if I said yes, but we were live. I could just stop streaming right after taking off the mask. I had only wanted to hide my identity from my dad, not anyone else. My dad is the least tech-savvy person in the world. Twitch was like another planet to him. There was no way he was going to find out about what happened here. I took a deep breath. I said, well, let's see the donations. Prove to me that you really want to see my face. If you convince me, then I'll be a human for a moment. As soon as I said this, the donations started pouring in. My girlfriend slammed the door and left. I didn't really care because I was so overwhelmed by the amount of donations. They just kept on coming. I waited for a while after the donation notifications stopped. I couldn't see the viewers, but I was sure they were all holding their breath. I thanked them by clucking. All right, you've convinced me. I'm taking off my mask for 20 seconds. Then I'm going to log off. But tomorrow I'll be back as Big Bird, I said. I waited for a moment. I took off the chicken mask and looked at the camera. I showed my face clearly. I winked at the viewers. Then I logged off. I was feeling really weird. I looked at how much money I got.
Wow.
It was like a dream. Just then, my girlfriend stormed into the room. I told you not to do it. The mystery is gone. Why would anyone watch you now? She said, yelling. I told her that the reason why I had agreed to put on the mask was not to be mysterious, but to avoid being found out by my dad. Look at all this money. Don't you think it was worth it? I said, hugging her. She looked at me and said, I hope you don't regret it. The next day, I went straight home after school. My dad smiled when he saw me. Do you have the day off? Your brother went to the dentist with your mom. Come on, let's have coffee together and chat, he said as he walked into the kitchen. He came back from the kitchen, saw the money on the coffee table, and was totally shocked. I asked, will this be enough for you to pay off your loan? My dad was still in shock. I don't know, probably. But where did this money come from? Whose is it? He asked. It's yours, I said proudly. Please don't ask me how I made it. All I can tell you is that I earned it and I didn't do anything illegal. He sat next to me and put his arms around me. You made it online, right? Oh no, sorry, not online. I should say from games. I know you don't work at the restaurant anymore, Big Bird, he said. He was smiling so wide, I could see all his teeth. It turned out that my girlfriend's dad called him one night. The kids are not doing anything bad, but my daughter said that you don't know about it. I thought you should know. But don't be mad. You should be proud of your son. He's doing a really good job, he said. My dad had been watching me ever since. I was so surprised when he told me his favorite jokes from my streams. I never thought he would like my sense of humor. But the day before, he fell asleep while he was watching me, so he didn't know about me taking off the mask and getting all those donations. He got really emotional when I told him about it. They gave you all this money just to see your face? And you're giving it all to me? He asked. Yes, I was giving it to him. I was so proud that I was able to earn this money to help my dad pay off his loan. The next evening, I was in my girlfriend's room to live stream for the last time. Because my dad and I agreed that from now on, I would do it from my house. But there was a surprise waiting for me. Even though I had the chicken mask on and I was making killer jokes, I had less than 100 viewers. Yes, the mystery was really gone now that everybody knew what I looked like. Even Ringo Starr, who started the whole donation thing to see my face, only stopped by for a few moments. After that, I tried wearing other animal masks and inventing different characters. But nothing worked. I'd lost all my followers, so after a while, I stopped live streaming altogether. But I was so happy with what I'd accomplished during my short-lived fame that I didn't care. Anyways, I don't really have time for anything else these days because I'm spending my evenings with my dad at the internet cafe that we opened.
Hi everyone, I'm Jillian. One day in music class, our teacher, Miss Atkins, said, "Folks, we decided to start a band here at school. We have many students who play an instrument, and most are good enough to perform. The only thing we're missing is a singer. Everyone looked at each other. When Miss Atkins said, "Come on, guys, I'm sure some of you can sing. We can't have a band without a singer," I reluctantly raised my hand. I sang a song which everyone loved. And that's how I became the singer of the school band to a round of applause. It was Miss Atkins' first year at the school. We all really liked her from day one. Even though she always wears her sunglasses in class, she's definitely not a snob. She's always friendly to us. She told us she has a problem with her eyes, and light makes her extremely uncomfortable. That's why she has to wear sunglasses all the time. Since her sunglasses make her look even cooler, I'm sure most of the guys in our class are in love with her. That night, I told my mom about what happened at school. Unfortunately, she said, "Honey, that's wonderful news, but your teacher will definitely want you to go to rehearsals. You don't have the time." My mom was right. I didn't think of that. My dad passed away 2 years ago. After that, we've had a rough time financially. My dad had taken out a large mortgage from the bank. My mom had to start working immediately. After making the monthly mortgage payment, we don't have much money left. So I got a job working at a grocery store after school. If we can't pay back the loan, the bank will foreclose on our house. That's why my mom and I both have to work. The following day, I told my teacher about all this. "Jillian, you're our singer. I also know that you really want to do this. I'll talk to your bandmates, and we can rehearse whenever is good for you. Have your mother stop by the school. I'll talk to her and reassure her that it's going to be okay." My mom came to the school a few days later. I took her to Miss Atkins' office. When she met her, my mom said, "You look so familiar. I feel like I definitely know you, but I can't figure out from where." Miss Atkins got really nervous. "I don't think so. I just moved to this city. And before that, I lived abroad for a long time," she said. My mom wanted to try to figure it out, but Miss Atkins clearly didn't want to talk about it. Up until then, Miss Atkins had been very warm, but suddenly she changed. She seemed to want to quickly get rid of my mom. In fact, within a few minutes, she got up to leave, saying, "I have class." My mom was totally shocked by her behavior. Why did she panic like that when I told her she looked familiar to me? "I'm sure she's hiding something. It's obvious from the way she's wearing sunglasses inside," she said. I told her there was something wrong with her eyes, but she wasn't buying it. That night, when I came home from work, I was so tired. I went to bed really early. In the middle of the night, my mom woke me up. She said, "Jillian, I figured out how I know your teacher." I said, "Mom, couldn't you wait till the morning?" And she said, "I'm going to give you a name. I want you to look it up online," she replied. My mom is really bad with technology. She can't even use a smartphone. I turned on my laptop and opened Google. She told me the name of a very famous old singer, whom I sometimes listen to. "Mom, what does this man have to do with Miss Atkins?" I asked her, but she did not reply. Because he is super famous, Google has thousands of results. My mom said, "Show me a picture of him." I went to Google Images and clicked on an image. "Look at that! His head is huge, but the ears are tiny. Just like your teacher," she said. I burst out laughing. "Mom, I can't believe you. Let's say they both have tiny ears. What's wrong with that?" I asked. My mom started explaining as if she were a detective. "About 20 years ago, there was a huge scandal involving this singer. He slept with a woman even though he was married. They never saw each other again. One day, the woman showed up at his house with a 5-year-old girl and told him, 'This is your daughter.' The man accused her of lying and told her to get out. On TV shows, they always compared the ears of the singer and the little girl and said, 'You don't see ears this small very often. She's definitely his daughter.'" I was so sleepy. "Mom, that's really interesting. But even if Miss Atkins is his daughter, that's none of our business. I'm going back to bed." But she said, "No, this is our business. We can pay off our whole mortgage thanks to this." Then she went on to explain further. The girl's mother sued the man. The DNA test proved that he was her father. The guy still did not accept her. He never wanted to see her. But in the years that followed, a lot of bad things happened to him. His wife even died in a car accident. Since he was religious, he thought, "God must be punishing me." He wanted to find his daughter and apologize to her. He looked for her but couldn't find neither her nor her mother. He said, "I'll give a big reward to anyone who can tell me where they are. I'm sure that's on the internet as well." I Googled the guy's name again, this time adding the word reward. There really were many news stories. He promised $1 million to anyone who helped him find his daughter. But recently, since he was losing all hope, he raised it to $10 million. When my mom heard the amount, she screamed. When she calmed down, she said, "Jillian, there's another very important thing. It was reported on the news that the little girl had a rare genetic feature. Her eyes were different colors. One was blue and the other brown. Now do you understand why Miss Atkins is always wearing sunglasses? She's hiding her eyes to avoid being recognized." My mom's detective instincts worked, and finally, she convinced me too. It sounded like Miss Atkins could really be the singer's missing daughter. But I still didn't want to make things difficult for her. "Mom, please, if she wants to run away from her dad, let's let her be. I'm sure she's got her reasons for it," I said. My mom didn't want to listen to me. "Jillian, come on. I'd do anything for $10 million. But I want to be sure it's really her before I get in touch with her father. I need to see that she really has different colored eyes. After that, we'll be rich." I asked, "How do you plan to do it?" And she said, "Simple. I'm coming to school tomorrow to look at her eyes." Then my mom went to her room. I started to cry. No matter how much I protested, she was clearly going to go ahead with this. All this was definitely going to hurt my teacher. I was so worried. The next day at school, I was walking around really confused. Then I got a text from my mom. She was about to arrive at the school. A few minutes later, she was there. As we were going to Miss Atkins' office, my legs were shaking from anxiety. When Miss Atkins saw us, she smiled. "What a nice surprise. Welcome back," she said. Unlike me, my mom was really calm. "Miss Atkins, after our meeting, I thought this over. Jillian loves singing. It's a great opportunity for her to be the singer of the school band. I'm here to thank you for that," she said. Of course, she was lying. Just as Miss Atkins was saying, "I'm so glad to hear that," my mom suddenly grabbed her sunglasses and pulled them off. My teacher was looking at my mom in shock. My mom's face gave away her huge disappointment because both of Miss Atkins' eyes were brown. If she really were the singer's daughter, one of her eyes would be blue and the other one brown. My mom was embarrassed. She didn't know what to say. I just wanted to see your eyes," she said, and gave back the sunglasses. Miss Atkins put them back on. "I would have shown them to you if you'd have asked," she said. What my mom did was obviously very weird. At that moment, neither of us knew what to say or how to react. My mom just said, "I'm so sorry," and quickly left the room. After my mom left, Miss Atkins began to laugh like crazy. Laughter is contagious, so I started laughing too. For a while, we just laughed. She kept saying, I just wanted to see your eyes," imitating my mom and continuing to laugh. When we calmed down, she said, "It's going to take a while for your mom to overcome this shock. Actually, I was really surprised too because I believed my mom and I really thought you had different colored eyes," I replied. Miss Atkins smiled and took off her sunglasses. Then she took a small mirror that was lying on her table and turned it to face her. Looking in the mirror, she removed a contact lens from one of her eyes. When she turned to me, I screamed, "No way!" Because, indeed, one of her eyes was blue and the other one brown. These are my real eyes. The medical term for it is heterochromia. It's a very rare condition. I love my differently colored eyes. But unfortunately, I have to wear these black sunglasses so that I don't get recognized," she said. Suddenly, she got emotional. A tear fell onto her cheek. She said to me, "Jillian, thank you for calling me last night and telling me about what your mother wanted to do. If I hadn't known about it, she would have definitely caught me today. I was so happy that I'd called up Miss Atkins and told her about everything after my mom went to sleep. I did it because I knew that I wouldn't be able to stop my mom. Moreover, I liked hearing that my teacher found a new way to hide her eye color as a result of this. Normally, I don't wear contact lenses. I could actually wear a colored lens instead of sunglasses. I'd never thought about it, really. After talking to you and finding out about what happened, I thought long and hard about what I should do. At first, I thought about running away. I could disappear again like I've been doing for years. But then I had this contact lens idea. In the morning, I went and bought a couple of brown lenses and put one of them on my blue eye. When your mom saw both of my eyes were the same color, she'd realize she was wrong and leave me alone. And it all went just as I planned. There was something else I was dying to know. Why are you running away from your father? He loves you so much he's willing to give away $10 million, I said, and my teacher's eyes welled up. I don't think he loves me at all. I think he's just afraid that God is punishing him and only wants to find me to atone for his sins. You get used to everything. I'm used to not having a father. I don't need him anymore. After school, I went to work like I always do. That evening, when I came back home, my mom was doing the dishes. Without saying a word, she gave me a hug. She was crying. I knew then that she regretted what she did to Miss Atkins. I gave her a kiss on the cheek. I said, "You're a good person. I love you. And I know that you love me too. And this makes me so happy."